Thanks for tuning in to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. On Monday night, President Trump laid out his plans for the war in Afghanistan. There weren't many specifics, but his approach to the country's longest war calls for a limited commitment of additional troops, more focus on targeting terrorists, less on nation building. The president also ramped up pressure on the governments of Pakistan and India to do more to help. We've heard lots of reaction and analysis in the past day, but what do our elected officials from Illinois think of the president's strategy? Senator Tammy Duckworth is a former Black Hawk helicopter pilot with the Army National Guard and served in Iraq. We spoke with her earlier about the plan. Senator, welcome back to the 21st.
Thank you. It's good to be back on.
Senator, before we get to President Trump's speech on Monday night, last night the president spoke at a rally in Arizona. He talked about liberating American cities and protecting them by building a wall. He made more than a few comments about the media. He said several times they're taking away, quote, our heritage and our history. I wonder if you saw that speech last night and what your reaction to it is.
Well, I did. But my reaction to it was that it was a pure speech to appeal to his base, which is not where the American people, a majority of American people are. You don't unite the country by tearing us apart. And that's what he did, has been doing consistently from the time he got elected to office to his speech regarding Charlottesville and now last night.
We can talk about that more in a minute, but I want to ask you about his speech on Monday night about Afghanistan. You said yesterday you thought it was a speech that was filled with bluster. It was short on details. It raises far more questions than it answers. What, to your mind, is the most important question you'd like the president to address regarding our military operations in Afghanistan?
Well, first and foremost, he needs to commit to drafting a new authorization for use of military force. This is a document that sets the boundaries for our military. Whether there is a ground campaign, how large is a ground campaign, is there an invasion, is that authorized? All of this needs to be done by Congress. And in fact, we are still operating in our foreign military actions under an AUMF that was passed in 2001. So it is 16 years old and is woefully out of date. I think the president needs to also tell us what the end state is in any military action. You have a defined end state. Take control of the bridge, and when you have control of the bridge, that's the end state. What is that? He has no end state that he has articulated. That's important. Is it when total democracy is restored to Afghanistan? Is it when what is it? He needs to define that so that we know what we're working towards. Otherwise, you just have this endless action that just keeps on going, and we keep sending America treasure overseas, whether in the form of course, our most important treasure, our men and women in uniform.
Yes,
but also,
Senator,
we're talking about tens and hundreds of billions of dollars already.
Right. So just to be clear, he said he didn't want to commit a time frame, but you're saying it's not the time frame. You'd like to see goals for what needs to be achieved before
exactly.
The operation ends. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
I understand the time frame issue. As a former military officer myself, I get it. You don't want to tell the bad guy, hey, I'm going to be leaving on, October 1st of 2019, because then they just hide out and wait for you. But you don't have to do that. What you do need to do, however, as the commander in chief, is define what your mission is to your troops and what are they supposed to achieve. And if you know what that goal is, then you can work towards it. And as a member of Congress who's going to be controlling the purse strings, I want to know what is his eventual goal in Afghanistan and what do the conditions look like there.
Senator, the president did say during his speech, quote, our nation must seek an honorable and enduring outcome worthy of the tremendous sacrifices that have been made, especially the sacrifices of lives. As you've said, you've just talked about this. You're a veteran yourself. What do you think would constitute an honorable and enduring outcome in Afghanistan?
Well, let me just make one thing clear. All of our troops serve with distinction and honor. So let's not tie the quality of service of men and women in uniform to the on-the-ground realities of what happens in places like Afghanistan, because so much happens there that are beyond the control of our troops, that are even beyond the control of the United States. Foreign actors like Russia, like Iran, who are stoking other terrorist groups. that are supporting other forces can come into play. So I reject his attempt to tie the honor of men and women who served and their sacrifice to his inability to act as a commander in chief and define what the goals and the parameters of this military action he's proposing is.
He also said that the U.S. military shouldn't be about nation building. It should be for killing terrorists who harm the United States. And I wondered what your reaction to that was.
Well, the U.S. military isn't about nation building. The State Department does that. And in fact, the Trump budget severely cuts the State Department budget. Heck, he hasn't even nominated an ambassador to India. And he called for more participation from India in resolving the issues in Afghanistan. Well, why don't you start over 7 months into your presidency by nominating an ambassador to India? He keeps saying these things about other hotspots around the world, but then he doesn't follow through with the work that needs to be done by our other power, which is diplomacy. North Korea is a good example. We still don't have an ambassador to South Korea. So he does these blustering talks time and again for his base, but there's no substance behind what he is proposing because he's not capable of being commander-in-chief of our military.
Let me ask you another military question somewhat removed from President Trump. We saw the sad news yesterday about the sailors who died in a collision aboard the USS McCain. It's a fourth Navy vessel involved in an accident this year. There were seven other deaths in June. We've seen now, of course, a leadership change announced yesterday evening for the Navy. Are you concerned, though, about how we're operating our battleships in Asian waters?
I am concerned about how we're operating our entire military across the globe. With sequestration that was put into place back when I first started in the House of Representatives, so before I got there, but, it started in 2012. 2013, our military has not been funded in an appropriate way. And I'm not talking about the amount of money, but the type of money. So that money has been put into what I've called slush funds to fund overseas operations. But that money isn't available for them to do things like training, maintaining equipment. Our military right now are flying aircraft that is the oldest it has ever in terms of an inventory of aircraft that it has ever had. We're operating ships with insufficient training for our men and women in uniform who have to carry out these perilous duties in strange lands and on foreign oceans. And we've not provided them with the resources that they need to maintain the readiness of our force. And that means we have to have a real look at what we're doing with the nation's budget, and we've not done that. And so I, unfortunately, am not surprised that this has happened. I do think that the men and women operate with the best ability with the resources that they have and far beyond what resources that they have. And we are not putting the investments into the maintenance of the equipment, and we are not putting the investments into the maintenance of the skills of our men and women in uniform. So, for example, pilots are flying the minimum number of flight hours to maintain their currency or their skill level in the aircraft, but nothing beyond it. They're flying the minimum that is needed to maintain a basic proficiency, as opposed to having the resources in terms of dollars for the flight hours, but also money for maintaining the equipment in order to maintain them at the very highest operational levels. We're not doing that. And you're starting to see it with accidents that happen with aircraft and ships and equipment that breaks down. This is what happens when you keep our military under sequestration for as long as we have and yet expect them to maintain the operational tempo that we've put them under.
So when you get back from recess, I'm sure that's one of the things that Congress will be addressing. Like many of our Washington delegation, you've been all over the state. And I just want to ask you one last question about this has been a rather tumultuous few weeks in our country since you all were recessed. You all had some very dramatic moments involving health care even before the recess. And I wonder, as you're traveling throughout Illinois right now, what are you hearing from people most about what they're concerned about? Is it health care? Is it jobs? Is it the hate crimes or neo-Nazi groups in Charlottesville? Like, what are you hearing in terms of what people are most worried about right now in Illinois?
Well, two things, largely. First and foremost, health care. We still have to increase the health care that's available to people in this country and lower the cost. Those are my two guiding principles. I'll vote for anything as long as it increases health care choice and availability to people and it lowers the cost. So as long as more people can get health care at a cheaper level, I'm there for them. And some of that can be resolved in a bipartisan way by going after things like pharmaceutical companies that really price gouge consumers and hospitals and as Mylan did, the taxpayers, they just pled guilty.
Right. And you said, you said yesterday you weren't happy with that settlement, right? That's $465 million with the Justice Department. You serve on the Commerce Committee. What would you or others like to see happen there with Mylan?
It needed to have been a far greater amount of money. This was really for a company that has billions and billions of dollars in profit just from this one drug. This was a slap to the face of the American taxpayers. In fact, what it told me was that the pharmaceutical industry has a friend in the Trump administration with this Justice Department accepting a paltry sum when really it should have been a much larger settlement to not only recoup the money for the American taxpayer, but also be an example to other drug companies that you can't do what they did. You can't price gouge on the backs of kids with allergies and people who are fighting cancer. People are just not going, we're not willing to put up with that. And so that's what I hear about when I travel the state. You know, I'm going down to Carbondale tomorrow, and I'm going to be down to Des Moines the day after. And that's what people worry about, is that I can't afford my medications anymore. And what are we going to do to fix that? And there's a bipartisan solution to that.
Senator Tammy Duckworth, home here during the recess. Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
To get a response also to President Trump in Afghanistan, we reached out to the only member of the Illinois congressional delegation who's also an active member of the military, Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Kinzinger is a Republican who represents Illinois' 16th district, which is as far north as Rockford, as far south as Gibson City. His staff didn't respond to our request to have him come on, but in a statement, he applauded President Trump's announcement we would keep troops in Afghanistan. And he said to hastily withdraw would be, quote, a disservice to the lives lost and would leave a power vacuum for enemies and other terrorist groups like the Taliban and Al-Qaeda to fill. We need to help Afghan special forces prevent their homeland from becoming a safe haven for terrorists and help them achieve a future of peace, stability, and security. Kinzinger served in the Air Force both in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's still a pilot in the Air National Guard. He added yesterday that America, as a global power, must lead these efforts out front in order to stabilize the Middle East. We can't give up. We can't give in. Quote, the future of Afghanistan matters to the future of America's national security. We also reached out to Republican Congressman John Shimkus, a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel who represents our 15th district, to hear his thoughts, but he wasn't available to join us this morning.